beaches finally get their own COVID-19 testing site. Good morning and live from Studio 5. I'm Melissa Ross, and this is First Coast Connect. Thanks for listening. Just ahead, there is a big demand for COVID tests across the ditch. We'll drop in on our new testing site there and speak to the mayor of Atlantic Beach. Give us a call now. It's 549-2937. Then later, Spanish Language TV takes its bow here in Duval. But first this morning, here is the latest on the pandemic in our area by the numbers. Statewide, we have 301,810 cases and 4,521 deaths. In Northeast Florida, we are closing in on nearly 20,000 cases and are above 500 deaths. Amidst these climbing numbers, a new testing site for COVID-19 opened up at the beaches this morning. And from what I'm hearing on Twitter, demand is brisk. Now, this site is located at the old Kmart Shopping Plaza on Atlantic Boulevard in Neptune Beach, and it's one of three new City of Jax operated testing sites. Neptune Beach Mayor Elaine Brown had worked on this, along with Mayor Ellen Glasser of Atlantic Beach, who is on the line now with more. Mayor Glasser, good to have you on the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. It's good to be with you.
And it's 549-2937. If you're at the beaches in particular, we want to hear from you this morning as cars line up and people walk up for COVID-19 tests. 549-2937. Emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Tweets to @MelissaInJax, and our Facebook page is open. So you worked with your mayors at the beaches in Jax and Neptune Beach, is that right, Mayor Glasser, to get this first public free testing site up and running at the beaches this morning? Because, of course, I'm sure your constituents told you they wanted one.
Yes, that's correct. And we've been wanting this for a few months now, so I'm glad to see that it's finally come to fruition. So this has been a cooperative effort at the beaches from day one, as soon as we started working on this emergency back in March.
And because the main testing site had been downtown at Lot J for weeks and weeks, that has moved over to the Regency Mall effective today. That's closer to the beaches communities, but not as convenient as something across the ditch, right? How much is the convenience factor helping your voters out that way?
Well, I think it helps a lot, and I actually am here at the site sort of watching what's going on and looking at who's here. And yes, it does make a difference for some people. This is where we live. This is the area that they know. And so the parking is very convenient. So it's very good to have it in our community where actually as elected officials and as staff members, we can assist our residents when they have problems. So it's all personal for us out here.
How is the testing working out there, and how many people are lined up?
Well, the way it works is today, it started today, and it's operating indoors at the former Kmart Plaza. It's at the old Anytime Fitness site, so it's air-conditioned, but it's open from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Thursday through Saturday. And it's being run by Telescope Health. And they've set up a system to create windows of time for different people to come based on the first letter of their last name or whether they're vulnerable or elderly. Those folks get to come first to try to keep it manageable in terms of crowds. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm looking at it, and I when I got here this morning, there were about 60 people lined up outside to register, because what happens is you go inside, you register, and then you can wait in your car and get a text message when it's your turn. But the line has not gotten any longer in the last hour that I've been here. And I'm seeing a real cross-section of folks from the beaches. They're socially distanced. They've got masks on, mostly. They've got chairs. So it seems to be operating in a fairly orderly fashion. But this is day one, so we'll have to see how it goes as time goes by.
That's right. And we're speaking right now with Atlantic Beach Mayor Ellen Glasser. She worked with the other beaches mayors, Elaine Brown, Charlie Latham, to get a testing site out in the beaches communities for COVID-19. It's one of three new testing sites around town. The City of Jax opened one at Ed Austin Regional Park Monday. They're going to open one in Mandarin this week. And the longest running and biggest testing site, Lot J at TIAA Bank Field, has reopened today at the Regency Square Mall. So don't come downtown for a COVID test at Lot J anymore. if you were planning to. They've moved that operation over to the Regency Mall. We'll go to your calls on all this in a moment at 549-2937. Mayor Glasser, we are hearing anecdotally anyway that ICUs in our region are being stretched pretty thin with COVID patients. What is the situation at the beaches? How are the hospitals out there dealing with COVID cases?
Well, we've been working with Beaches Baptist, and we are aware of sort of the numbers that they are seeing. You're correct that we're hearing anecdotal information that's not really borne out by data. Right now, capacity is still available at our hospitals. We have not seen many deaths at the beaches. So even though the number of positive cases has spiked and it's gone up exponentially in the last month, we haven't seen the same rate of increase with hospitalization and deaths, and certainly not at the beach.
That's good news. So it seems as though more vulnerable people, more inland, and certainly in some zip codes more than others, are falling prey to this disease in larger numbers. So you're managing this, it sounds like, at the beaches with a lower rate of infection and hospitalization overall.
Well, that's my take on it, but you know, we look at this day to day. I mean, a month ago, we had been relatively flat in terms of our positive cases, and then we've seen just an enormous increase in the number of positive cases. So I think there's going to be a lag in terms of what we see with hospitalizations. I will say that this site is for the beaches, and that's Jack's Beach, Neptune Beach, and Atlantic Beach. But it's also for residents of Jacksonville that are in the Mayport area. And I will say that is an area that does deserve attention because there are a lot of vulnerable people that may live in that area that don't have as much access to local government as our residents do. And in fact, I've heard from a number of those residents and lots of other people with concerns about getting elderly parents tested or, you know, not being able to have transportation to testing sites. And those really tug at your heartstrings because you really want to help them. So again, it's very personal for us at the beach.
It's 549-2937. Let's go to some calls from wherever you are across the listening area. Brian in Atlantic Beach. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Melissa. Hi, Mayor Glasser. Hi, you know, I am a voter at Atlantic Beach. Mayor Glasser knows me personally, and I just I thank her for all the work that she's done and the mayors in the area to get that testing site out there. I want to offer my encouragement for all her hard work. Also, I want to encourage citizens of Duval County to go out there and get tested because it's the only way that we can go and we can go on the offensive against this virus. And instead of the more passive approach that we have been taking, and you know, and it what it will do is create certainty and get the virus out of our community.
Thanks for that, Brian. Yeah, Mayor Glasser, more widespread testing. We know this from public health experts who've been talking about this from the start is absolutely critical to getting a handle on this crisis and driving down the numbers.
Well, Melissa, I would agree, and I want to thank Brian for his call and his kind words. So at the site, you can get the viral COVID swab test, and you can also get the blood antibody test. And so what I'm told by Telescope Health is that most people do pick both, and they're doing both tests. But the health experts tell me that the more people that are tested, the better, because that's going to give us the best handle on how we need to move forward and be consistent in terms of our government and public and private efforts.
We're getting lots of questions for you on Twitter as well. Here's a tweet from Catherine. How many people can they test at the beaches location, and how long does it take to get results?
Okay, well, what we're operating on right now is at least 150 a day can be tested. But I've been told by Telescope Health leaders that could number could go to 200. We're just going to look at what the demand is right now to see what we need to do to match that. In terms of results, what I was briefed yesterday was to expect about 5 days. But again, we're going to try to make that quicker, but that's where we are right now. So I do want to thank Telescope Health and also just mention that this is something that Mayor Curry in the city of Jacksonville has done for the beaches at our request, and this is being paid for from the CARES Act. So this is definitely a collaboration of many stakeholders.
549-2937. As we talk about the new COVID testing sites going up around this community, including at the beach, Jane in Ponte Vedra. Hi, Jane. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. My question is simple. I live in St. Johns County in Ponte Vedra Beach. Can we come up to that area of the beaches in Duval for testing, or do we have to stay in St. Johns?
I think anyone can come, right, Mayor Glasser?
No, I'm sorry. This testing site is for Duval County residents only and City of Jacksonville employees. And in order to be tested, I'm very sorry to the caller here, you do need to prove that you reside in Duval County, whether that's a driver's license or a utility bill. You do have to do that in order to register. And then, of course, once you register, it's free to get the test.
Okay, I hope that answers your question. Sorry for that. There are testing sites in St. Johns County, but Mayor Glasser, I don't know how convenient they are to where she is. Do you?
No, I'm sorry. I really don't.
And here are some more tweets for you. The way things are looking, they should have kept Lot J open, says one listener on Twitter. And here's one for you from Melinda. Please ask the mayor why Atlantic Beach safety officers are not wearing masks. When they are out and about, we need everybody, police, lifeguards, et cetera, masked up. Let's talk about the mask mandate out at the beaches, Mayor Glasser. It is countywide by order of Mayor Curry. That includes your communities out there. How well do you think people are complying with the mask order in the beaches communities?
Well, let me respond with a couple of points. One is, yes, this is a county order, and this is consistent with the way the elected officials have handled this state of emergency. When something affects the whole county, we all believe it's best to work together and have a consistent message. So I definitely concurred with Mayor Curry's decision to have a mask mandate. So now we're a couple of weeks into that, and we're all learning. So to the question about our public safety officers, they are required to wear masks indoors and when they cannot safely socially distance. I don't know when she observed them without masks, whether it was before the mandate or after, but that's certainly what we expect in Atlantic Beach. And if she's not seeing that now, I would love to hear about that, and she could certainly email me or our staff.
As far as compliance
with the mandate, it's not where it needs to be. I mean, this is very difficult to enforce, and so we really hope that people know what they need to do and that they're going to do it to lessen the risk to our greater community.
Right. I mean, we'll never see 100% compliance, but if the majority of people do act conscientiously, it can make a huge difference. And it was certainly disappointing to see up in Georgia, the governor there overrode mask mandates by local community leaders like you, Mayor Glasser, who had asked their citizens to wear masks. And so,
well, that is just an example of how difficult this whole pandemic has been, at local, state, federal government levels. I mean, people want to know answers. They want consistency. And so when we have a mask mandate and then the governor of Georgia, outlaws having such mandates, it's not a consistent message. And I just think we need to do better. I can understand why people are confused about this and why there's such a public debate, because we need a better, consistent message.
It's 549-2937 as we speak with Atlantic Beach Mayor Ellen Glasser about the new COVID-19 testing site out in the beaches. It's in the old Kmart shopping center on Atlantic Boulevard, right there in Neptune and Atlantic Beach, right on the line. Elsa is in Jacksonville. Elsa, good morning.
Good morning. My question, I'm confused about who should get tested. Should you get tested anyway just to know if you have COVID, or should you only get tested if you show symptoms of any kind?
Sure. Elsa, thanks. Mayor, you know, anyone can get a test, even if they're asymptomatic. That wasn't always the case, right?
That's right. So you do not have to have symptoms in order to come to this site and be tested. And a lot of people are asymptomatic. That's what we saw recently with some of the younger folks at the beaches that had gone to bars, and they didn't really show symptoms. And then when somebody did and some contact tracing was done, you realize that a lot more people had been exposed and were positive. So, yeah, I encourage everyone to be tested. It's just a matter of, like, I guess the wait time. So I'm looking at the line right now. It's shorter than it was when I started the interview. And I do want to point out, if you're going to come here, folks, you're going to be standing outside in order to register before you get inside the air-conditioned space. So you might want to bring a hat because it's hot.
It is. Yes, it is already hot as can be out there. And I know your time with us is short. Let me just get a few more calls in for you. Janet in Atlantic Beach. Hi, Janet.
Oh, hi.
Go ahead.
Question. I know in the past you needed a doctor's note to have the antibody test. Is that required for the test?
The answer to that is no.
Okay. Okay. Short, easy answer. I'm glad that you are well informed on all of this. Let me get a few more comments to you. Here's one from Victoria on Facebook. What causes the long time lag between testing and receiving results? Will it be addressed by adding more sites, or will the new sites just make testing more available? You know, that's what we hear more than anything, Mayor Glasser, that people go and get tested and then they don't get a result back for up to 2 weeks or even more. By that point, they may have already recovered and they feel like that the test result isn't even relevant anymore. Do you think adding more testing sites around town will help speed up the process of getting information back to people?
Well, I appreciate the caller's question, and I wish I knew the answer to that. I do know that a number of tests are batched together in order to get, you know, so that they can be processed. So it's not like you get tested and then that immediately goes to be processed. I think having more testing sites is just to make it more accessible to people so they can go places they know, and it's easier to actually have the test done. I hope we can speed up the turnaround time, but that's really not really my area of expertise.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Right. And for the caller that asked earlier about St. John's County testing sites, producer Heather Schatz wants me to let you know there's a free site at Flagler Hospital. It's not real convenient to where you are in Ponte Vedra Beach, but you can go there. 549-2937. Jacob in Jacks Beach. Hi, Jacob.
Hi. I'm at the Neptune Beach test site. Well, first of all, I was just wondering if, obviously, we have to wait in line to get tested or to sign up, get tested. It would make more sense if we could sign up online. And my second comment is that you're just talking about the police in Neptune Beach wearing masks now. And I'm sitting here looking at a conversation between a unmasked man talking to an unmasked cop. Just thought that was of note. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for that. Are they outside, Jacob, though? Oh, he hung up. Well, Mayor Glasser, you know, obviously people are more conscientious about wearing masks when they go indoors than if they're standing outside. But we are getting some on-the-ground feedback there from a constituent. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm probably looking at him right now, and I'm looking in my rearview mirror at the police car. I don't see the conversation. The mask mandate really is indoors, but also where you can't socially distance. So I accept that feedback, and I'll pass it along. And I will say, and it was a great question, is that Telescope Health is working on a way for people to pre-register so that you can have an appointment. Again, this is the first day, and we're just trying to get things up and running right now. But I agree, and I think that's going to be a much better way to go. And I'm looking at the crowd, and it's shorter than it was even a few minutes ago. But it is hot outside, and you do have to wait to actually sign up. So,
Karen in Atlantic Beach. Hi, Karen. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I know in the past to get the antibody test, you needed a doctor's note. Do you need a doctor's note?
I don't think so, Mayor Glasser. Does she?
No, ma'am. You just have to show proof of your residency in Duval County. You have to come with your own writing pen so we don't exchange the same writing instruments, and that's all you need. And you do not need a doctor's note.
Karen, I hope that
answers. Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, I hope that answers your question. Let's go to Carolina, a local pediatrician calling in from the Beaches. Carolina, hello. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate your program. My question is, we have had a very difficult time. As a local pediatrician, we've had a horrible time getting small children tested. So some of the sites will test 5 and up. The governor has talked and people have talked about it's very rare. The numbers are very low in children. Honestly, there are very few numbers in children because we're not getting them tested.
Hmm.
So can you comment on the availability of testing without having to go to a second provider that I could request I could send my patients after I've evaluated them to be tested somewhere if they're, say, 18 months old?
Wow, that's a great question from a pediatrician. Thank you, Carolina. Mayor Glasser, I'm so glad she pointed that out. Certainly, this is on the mind of parents right now, particularly with our kids getting ready to go back to school in the middle of this pandemic.
Well, I'm making a note of that, and I will ask some questions as follow-up. I haven't gotten that question before. I have gotten questions from senior citizens that can't drive. And how are they going to be expected to be able to come to a testing site? So I'm trying to work on those as well. There's not really a program to do mobile testing at one's home. And so I'm going to add the issues related to our younger people to my list to research. So I appreciate
I can only imagine how long your list is, or any public official right now. You know, you're dealing with a really anxious population and some unprecedented challenges. What's been the most challenging thing about all of this, do you think, for someone in your position?
Well, we don't really have a playbook for this. None of us has been through this before. And, you know, we've taken some actions that, you know, we found out probably we didn't need to do because the virus maybe doesn't transmit as easily in an outdoor space or on the beach. You know, first we thought that masks were unnecessary, and now we know that they are. So it's trying to adapt to changing information, and again, trying to put out a consistent message. So, and then also trying to enforce people's personal behavior. That's just not something that's easy to do in our country. There's so much tension. We really need to pull together as fellow citizens and neighbors and not fight with each other. The debates over masks, I think, are very distracting because there are a lot of people that are really afraid out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we need to recognize where people are coming from. And then there are also the voices of people that we don't hear from, like the children, right? You know, we need to be listening to everybody and working together. I mean, it has been very challenging, but I do want to close by giving Mayor Elaine Brown a lot of credit for getting this site set up in Neptune Beach. It's centrally located to the three beach cities, and she has been working on this. Well, we've been working with her, but this is something that she's been really advocating for at least 2 months now. So
I wish we had been able to have her with you today. And you are absolutely right. She has been such a strong leader. I want to squeeze in one more call. It's a 90-year-old constituent. Monica in Ponte Vedra. Are you in Ponte Vedra, Monica? Go ahead quickly.
Yes, I am. I wanted to know if there was some way that I could make a phone call without going to this place, which I don't even know where it is, and stand in line.
So you need to get a COVID test. I mean, do you live in St. Johns County?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then, as we learned from the mayor, you're not eligible to get your test done at this new site. The closest one that I know of that you could go to for a free test would be at Flagler Hospital. But Mayor Glasser, for someone who's elderly like Monica, who doesn't want to go stand in line, what options does someone like Monica have at any of these testing sites? And Monica, keep listening if you could.
Well, I do have a number for Telescope Health. I don't know that they're going to be able to provide a personalized service, especially since she's not a Duval County resident and our contract is with Telescope. I would encourage her to call her city leadership and ask for help. I mean, that's what we do when we have a resident that needs help. And then we plug in the various agencies that are working to support our seniors, people with disabilities, people with transportation issues. We plug in all of those resources to try to work each problem out. Every problem has got its own set of issues. So I would encourage her to call her city leadership and ask for help.
That's right, Monica. If you're still listening, call your St. Johns County Commissioner, whoever that is, and have them hook you up with Telescope Health, telemedicine, so you can start the process of getting your COVID test without having to stand out in the heat. And I want to thank you, Mayor Ellen Glasser. As you said, you worked in conjunction with Neptune Beach Mayor Elaine Brown to bring more convenient testing to the beaches communities for COVID-19. So thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, Melissa. Thank you so much for having me.
Lots more still to come on the show. Some other news of the day later, including another beloved local publication back on the racks. We'll tell you about that. But up next.
To 18 Jax TV, that means your 18 Jax TV, is the only local Hispanic TV station in the Jacksonville area.
Spanish language TV in Jacksonville on the air and streaming to you. That's in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Snap judgment means your mother, your kids, the dog, and your boss are just going to have to wait until the story is over. Join me, Glenn Washington, for Snap Judgment. Snap Judgment. Storytelling with a beat. Do not miss it.
Saturday afternoon at 2 here on WJCT News 89.9. Hi, I'm Brendan Rivers, and I'm a reporter. Audio is my favorite way of telling stories because you can really hear and understand emotion and there's nothing else there to distract you. Really kind of scratches this creative itch that I have. And I really just like building something. You're actually getting to hear from other people in Northeast Florida. And that's what we strive to do here at WJCT News 89.9.
Welcome back. It's a new all-Spanish language television channel here in Jacksonville. It's a platform that's capitalizing on the growth of the Latino market here in our part of the state, too. I learned more about TU 18 Jax TV from General Manager Chad Dominicis. Chad Dominicis, good to talk to you.
Likewise. Good morning.
So tell us about TU 18 Jax TV.
To 18 Jax TV. That means your 18 Jax TV. Is the only local Hispanic TV station in the Jacksonville area. We started off a few years ago, almost 5 years ago now, as Univision for Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't quite work out because expenses and changes in the television industry and the market. This market is very Caribbean, and Univision's very West Coast oriented. And even though it works really well in other cities, it just wasn't working out here. So we went independent. And now we're basically reinventing what television's all about. We're doing like radio on TV combined with internet, streaming, that kind of stuff.
Interesting. Throwing
things at the wall to see what sticks.
And seeing what sticks. And you are looking at the demographics of Jacksonville because the local Hispanic population has grown by about 6% a year every year for the last decade, correct?
Yes. The last figures we have that are official are from October of last year. They released the community survey, and that's for the figures of almost 2 years ago, July 1st, 2018. And at that time, in the 10 counties that we count as the DMA here, the demographic area of importance, it's 168,475 Hispanics. Figure of 6% a year, we're up to about 190,000.
That's a vibrant community, and you want to service this community with some strong programming. What are some of the shows that you're producing?
Well, we do some local programming. We have Aquí en tu Comunidad, which is here in your community, speaking with community leaders. We've had people from Mayo Clinic. We had somebody from Mayo Clinic last week, Dr. Richard White, who is setting up something called Jax Saludable. He and Victor Cora are doing a virtual conference through Zoom and online with our cooperation, or our participation, I should say, Jax Saludable, it's a health conference, Healthy Jacksonville. And then we also do something for Puerto Ricans. We have little mini programs now, because basically during the day we're running music videos most of the day, but we have interstitials where personalities, local announcers, let's say, these beautiful women who are really smart and really wonderful people, they come along and they talk about things like the weather or a recipe or some beauty tips or whatever, just keeping company. And then in between, we also have mini programs, for example, about health. Today's Nutrition Day throughout the day. On Fridays, we have reviews of restaurants, but they're mini programs, no longer than, say, 8 minutes.
Yeah, cool. And so how can people access all this great programming?
Over the air. It's free.
It's free, baby.
If you have an antenna, yeah. If you have an antenna, you just set it to scan the area. Now, you got to make sure it's in a good location. I just moved to Jacksonville from Gainesville, honestly. I've been working here for the last few years, but I've been living in Gainesville for the last 10 years, making the trip. So I finally found a really nice place here in the San Marco area. First thing I did was put up my antenna.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, there it is, nice and crisp and clear.
It's channel 18.1 over the air, correct?
Right. We also have, on the same channel, since it's digital now, you have many other channels, on Point 2, LA TV, which is geared more towards the Mexican audience. Actually, it's bilingual, a lot of young people stuff. That's Point 2, and then Point 3 and Point 4, separate things. Infomercials and the such.
And people can check you out online, too, and it's tu18jax.com.
Yeah. Right, and we also, that's our web magazine. As I mentioned in the beginning, we have to combine things to make it different. You know, something big is coming to television really soon, and it's ATSC3. We're on ATSC1 right now. Used to be SMTP, and that's when television was analog. Now it's digital. Now the next step includes a lot of internet, a lot of web connectivity, and more direct thing. And we're preparing for that separately now. We're not broadcasting ATSC3, but our presence online, our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages are extremely important to us. That's how we keep touch with the community.
People need to follow you there on those social media platforms and check you out.
On Instagram, it's TU18Jax, right? Our program during the day is mostly, it's called Tu Canal Musical, which means your musical channel. That also has a separate page, but our main page is Tu18Jax, TU18Jax.com. And we're also streaming through Roku. We have an app for Android, and we're developing one now for iOS.
Very nice.
But it's an interesting time to be in television.
It really is. And it's an interesting time to be developing this in this community with the demographics we've talked about. So I want to thank you as we learn more about
you.
Jacksonville's only local Spanish language TV station, TU18Jax TV. And he is president and general manager, Chad Dominicis. Thank you so much, Chad. Gracias. And we'll look.
Gracias a ti. Thank you so much, Melissa.
And we'll be watching. Thank you.
I hope so. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, on Wednesday, we learned about the rebirth of Folio Weekly as that independent publication hit newsstands this week after having to close up shop a few months ago due to the pandemic. So Folio is back. Another beloved First Coast publication is also back in print, Void Magazine, and all thanks to a little help from their readers. Editor Matt Shaw is on the line with news about the new issue and some other exciting happenings at Void. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Melissa. Thanks so much for having me.
Great to have you. The last time we talked, you were trying to raise money to get a new issue and get Void back in print, and now you've got an update, right?
Yeah, so we reached our goal, about a month ago when we closed the Indiegogo campaign, and We raised about $30,000 through one-time subscriptions, direct donations, and we had a bunch of swag packages of T-shirts, and people could get a custom surfboard and all this other cool stuff. And so we had over 400 contributors who put money in that campaign, and that's all the way from like $2,000 donations down to like people just throwing us a dollar. So we reached our goal, you know, with the help of our readership. And, you know, a big part of that, I think, was just it was kind of like an awareness raising campaign for, you know, our readers and also local businesses who maybe had never bought an ad before. They liked us. And they just, it was news to them, I guess, that this is how we make a free magazine, you know, based on advertising. And, you know, of course, we had longtime advertisers that stuck it out with us. So we're super thankful for that too.
That's great. It shows you how much love there is for the magazine, and also how important it is for people to continue to see publications being printed.
Totally. And big shout weekly, a longtime reader. So happy that they're back on the racks too. You know, it's like part of, it's a, you know, news and information ecosystem here, you know, and Folio has been a big part of that. WJCT, Times Union. I think we need it all, you know.
Right. The more voices, the better. And there's really nothing that can replace a tangible product that you hold in your hand, that you pick up when you go out to eat or wherever you happen to be. So it's exciting to see this new issue back in print. And you have some other news and notes, including the new Void Artist Network. What's that?
So the Void Artist Network, we actually had been bring it for a while, but just thinking about ways to connect, you know, a lot of the local artists that we either feature in the magazine or who have done illustrations or other artwork for us, and try to get their work like out into the community more and make it more present and approachable. So we came up with the Void Artist Network, which is a collaborative project, you know, where we work with artists whose work that we love, or, you know, it also seems inspired by the region. But also artists who've really like contributed in significant ways to the community. So the first artist that we just released a series of products with is Dustin Harewood, whose you know, original works at this point are in high demand, and he's a fantastic fine artist. He's also a professor at FSCJ. He's mentored, you know, countless young artists. And he and Mark Cregan over there at FCJ, they have the Kent Campus Gallery that they run, which has become, you know, thanks to them, become a really great place to see local art. So Dustin, we got some artwork from Dustin, and we made a T-shirt. There's also locally roasted coffee by Paco that has his artwork on it. Mm-hmm. And then we have a fine art print, too, that's part of the series. So with those three items, we really like, you know, the goal is just to see more of Dustin's artwork around Jacksonville. And so, you know, we kind of put it out there in an approachable way where people, maybe they couldn't afford, you know, one of his original works, his large scale works or something, or they're not going to hire him to do a mural on their, the side of their house. So, you know, they can get a T-shirt or fine art print, you know.
And people can buy this stuff on your web store. You've got a pop-up shop, too, in Jacks Beach, right?
Yeah, we're doing on Fridays from 11 to 6 at our new headquarters here in Jacks Beach. And, you know, we're practicing all the safety guidelines down there. So I think the best way right now, if you're interested in that, getting any of that merchandise, we have an option on our web store where you can select pickup, and you can just do a drive up and pick it up on Fridays when we're open, and we'll just bring it to your car.
Okay. And you are also running your number one in the 904 poll with the results in the next issue, even in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's so much good stuff going on in this, you know, our yearly Reader's Choice poll, and it's very popular. And I think, if nothing else, you know, it's another way to highlight, you know, some of the good stuff that's going on. Obviously, we've adapted and added some categories that reflect, you know, the new normal, so to speak. So,
what are those?
Best to go meal.
Nice.
Best COVID-safe entertainment. So if anybody's done any kind of, drive-in concert or movie or anything like that, we're looking to highlight that stuff as well. And it's the reader's choice, so it comes, completely.
Yeah, and I hope all of your Void readers vote WJCT, their favorite local radio station.
I was going to say, we have all those old, the categories that we have every year in there, like our Arts and Media Awards and Best Radio Host, which I think you've taken that crown.
I would love to take it again. I hope that everyone votes me up. Now, how can people vote in the poll?
This is on voidlive.com. It's you'll see it on our website there. And it should take you, no more than 10 minutes or so to go through the category. So try to make it easy for people.
And so as we talk about all this stuff, Matt, it hasn't been easy for any business in this pandemic. And my heart goes out to restaurant owners, anyone in the healthcare profession,
sure.
Anyone who is had a bar that they worked at or run that's essentially been shut down, any small business that depends on foot traffic. It's been so hard for so many people, and it's certainly been hard for small business in the media space too, like your publication. So it's exciting to hear that you've got you've got your mojo working out there, and things are going okay for Void, because as you said, we need these publications. They're part of our cultural fabric, and they really are, they give people a boost, which we need right now.
They totally do. It's inspiring too, to see, like, when you look around the community, and even a feature that we ran in this month's issue that we called Culturepreneurs, just sort of seeing the innovation and ingenuity of people and how they're adapting to the times, and also just coming up with creative ways and using that compulsion to just create entertaining or interesting things for their community. Inspiring to us. So that's something that gives me hope. And of course, getting back to print is, I'm fired up about that too. So,
well, kudos. Pick up the new issue of Void on newsstands all around town this month. The new issue is back, and go to voidlive.com for more about their artist network and the number one in the 904 poll. Voting ends July 29th. Editor Matt Shaw, always good to hear your voice. Take care.
Thank you so much, Melissa. Thank you. Bye.
In a moment, as I mentioned, it's been tough for restaurants and a lot of businesses, but restaurants are open and chefs are in the kitchens out there. In a moment, we'll find out what's cooking with some of this area's top chefs as they let us behind closed doors via their new podcast. That's in just a moment as we listen to chefs tell stories. Don't go away.
The First Coast Freethought Society presents Policy and Paraphernalia, a conversation about cannabis, by Folio Weekly columnist Shelton Hull, a virtual event on July 20th at 6:30 p.m. More at firstcoastfreethoughtsociety.org. Congaree and Penn, dedicated to agriculture and culinary endeavors, offering picnic meals in a safe, dog-friendly farm setting where social distancing is top priority. Visit congareeandpenn.com for more information.
A new comet is passing by Earth, and it's visible to much of the Northern Hemisphere.
In spite of the really difficult times right now, it's really a reminder that we're part of a bigger universe, and there are some really wonderful and beautiful things in it.
More on the comet Neowise this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
starting at 4 here on WJCT News 89.9.
There are 10 times more people with serious mental illness in our jails and prisons than in our state psychiatric hospitals. On the next Fresh Air, psychiatrist Christine Montross explains why incarceration undermines mental health, and she explores an alternative system of confinement and rehabilitation in Norway. Her new book is Waiting for an Echo. Join us
tomorrow at noon here on WJCT News 89.9.
In the 16 weeks between now and Election Day, can the country recover from the current surge in COVID cases? By then, new models suggest America's death toll will be well north of 200,000. But scientists are finding out more about the virus daily. How might this new information help us prepare for what's next? I'm Jen White. Let's find out next time on 1A.
Today, starting at 10, here on WJCT News 89.9.
Welcome back. Well, restaurants are open now around this community, although they are at reduced capacity. You can also drop in on your favorite eateries in another way. It's by listening to a new podcast created by Jack's Restaurant Reviews. It's called Chefs Tell Stories, where the chefs do just that, telling tales from the front lines of their kitchens, the good, the bad, and the ugly. On the line, Jerry Watterson of Jack's Restaurant Reviews. He's co-host of this podcast. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Melissa.
Good to have you on the show. Also with us, Chef Nils Roland, co-owner of Creme de la Coco in St. Augustine. He's featured on Chefs Tell Stories. Chef Roland, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys today?
Doing well, thanks. Thanks for being with us. So, Jerry, tell us about this podcast. We're going to learn about what really goes on in restaurant kitchens as you chat with chefs each week, right?
Absolutely. So we came up with this idea for the podcast because we're always sitting around with chefs and they tell us these incredible stories, and we thought people would really enjoy a window into that world.
And right now I think people are kind of looking for an interesting new podcast to listen to, something a little different. So this could fill the bill.
Certainly. We're all sitting around at home mm-hmm. a lot more than usual. And this really gives you an opportunity to get to know the chefs in our area, and I think ultimately we'll do around the Southeast, and just sharing sort of their adventures, you know, in the kitchen, out of the kitchen. And I always find it fascinating to get to know a person and who they are as a human. And I think this podcast gives us a chance to do that also.
And we'll hear that about you, Chef Nils. You have been featured on the Food Network. You're this amazing pastry chef. And you, I guess you tell some little tales out of school on this podcast. What are we going to learn?
You know, you'll learn a little bit of how I got into pastry, and you know, talk a little bit about sort of some of the things that happen when you do TV shows and some of the, you know, behind the scenes and
what happens. You know, what kind of stuff goes on?
Well, you know, it depends on the show, kind of like we cover, but it really. You know, behind the scenes, how stuff's done, sort of some of the pressure situations and things you have to roll through. So sort of like a sneak peek behind the scenes. I mean, it's it can be from, you know, time crunches to pre-planned things or whatever it may be. It all just depends on the show.
Now, tell us a little bit about your restaurant, too. You make these beautiful cakes and desserts down in St. Augustine, and you're open in this pandemic, right?
Yeah, so me and my wife own Creme de la Coco. Like you said, it's in St. Augustine. And, yeah, we've been open during the pandemic. Right now we're just doing curbside to go. We were fortunate enough to – we have a ton of window space, so we pushed all of the desserts to the windows so you can sort of go back to old-school window shopping outside. We have somebody come out and sort of walk you through stuff and take your orders and bring it to your car and everything. So we felt like it was the best case scenario for us and a way to continue, you know, servicing everybody in a safe manner and, you know, make sure everybody's happy, you know, getting their celebration stuff.
And Jerry, we'll hear from chefs on this podcast about all the crazy kitchen stories, but also how they're navigating this time in the restaurant world too.
Absolutely. I think that's important for us to talk about. I think we focus more in on the stories so you can escape to something maybe a little more fun than what we're going on. So probably a little less talking about this time, although we've done some.
and more just sort of escaping to something fun and different. And we've had, you know, a variety of our city's top chefs on, and we'll continue to do so. Our Chef Nils is this week's episode. Next week, we've got Chef Dennis Chan, who I know you know, on. And he actually
from Blue Bamboo,
tells us about, yes, from Blue Bamboo. And he actually gets a chance to tell us about when he was in college being Martha Stewart's tour guide at Disney World.
Oh, that sounds interesting. So how do you pick your chefs?
To me, I didn't want to have like a show where we just ask questions, right? There are a million podcasts out there where you have a scripted set of questions. Somebody comes on, you ask them the same questions. I think that gets old. So when a chef tells me a great story, I say, okay, you have to be on the podcast. And I don't take no for an answer.
That's a good way to be. Well, people can find this podcast wherever they get their podcast. It's called Chefs Tell Stories. And they can check it out on your website, too, Jack's Restaurant Reviews, which we want to plug because it's a great place to check out all of the restaurants around this community and learn more about them.
Absolutely.
All right, guys, I want to thank you both so much for being with us. Jerry Watterson, co-host of Chefs Tell Stories, and Chef Nils Roland of Creme de la Coco in St. Augustine. This podcast is happening now, so listen away. As Jerry said, it's a little bit of an escapist few minutes from our lives, which we could all use right now. Guys, thanks, and keep on cooking.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you. Well, that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers today and producer Heather Schatz. Josh Torres is show director. Our station news director is Jessica Palumbo, and editing digital is the great Bill Bortsfield. You are always a big part of what we do as well. Keep those emails coming. Feedback, just drop it at firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. And if you missed any part of this show, catch our rebroadcast tonight at 8 o'clock, or our podcast is always available online. I'm Melissa Ross. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. We'll connect with you again at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Until then, be well, stay safe, and wear your mask.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.